Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba, and how is everyone doing today? If you are watching me on YouTube, then you can already tell that I have a lot of sunlight today. I have been needing to close the blinds every time I record because there has been so much snow that the way the sun bounces off the snow, it's so freaking bright in here. And then all of me is pretty much backlit. So I had to close the shades today, but they still look great. But other than that, how is everyone doing? I feel amazing. I've been rocking the curly hair for like a few days now. I have realized that curly hair can be a little bit of a trigger for me because growing up, my curly hair felt unmanageable in spirit because I didn't really know how to style it properly or how to maintenance it or take care of it. But I keep forgetting that I am so much better at hair now. I went to hair school. I know a lot more about curly hair. I have friends that are curly girls that like wear their hair curly always. And so I do know a little bit, but I get a little bit overwhelmed because I normally will blow out my hair all the time. I always blow out my hair because it's easy. I can wake up and go. It feels like it doesn't need a lot of work. And I love curls. Like I love a blown out look with some curls at the bottom. But I've been rocking the curly, which is amazing. I feel like I look so cute. I've been rocking it and I've been getting a lot of compliments. So we're going to just stick with it for now. I'm quite enjoying it. I like to switch up my hair every once in a while. So I hope that you guys are enjoying me visually as well. This week's episode is a little bit of like a part two to last week's episode. For those who maybe didn't listen to that episode or just want a little bit of a recap, I told you guys that I wanted to discuss more commentary here on my podcast because I really love the idea of taking some pieces from outside things that have to do with like pop culture, social media, other influencers and people in media, and kind of giving my own two cents, advice, thoughts, commentary on all of it. I never want to come off as someone who's a know-it-all or thinks that I'm better than other people. I more so rather be the person who shares my thoughts from the perspective of the life I've lived and the life I lead. And last week we discussed the Christy Sarah divorce very minimally. I didn't want to get too deep into her entire marriage, the disillusion of it and everything, because again, I'm not really someone who enjoys gossip or tea, at least coming out of my mouth in particular, but I rather discuss what was said and how I can make it applicable to my own life and to my own advice. So it being the topic of last week's episode, we were really discussing the intricacies of cheating, what it does to your brain chemistry, how it affects you as a woman, how it can affect you moving forward, and all the things in between. And there were some things that I really wanted to discuss more that I wanted to touch on in today's episode. Because today we are going to be discussing, once we have come to the conclusion that we are walking away from a long-term commitment, how can we rebuild our lives as an autonomous, independent woman and truly pivot in a healthy way? Now, this particular episode is going to be coming from the perspective of a woman who was navigating singlehood and independence for the first time in her mid-20s. I was not the girl who was single in my teenage years. I wasn't someone who struggled in dating. I've really never struggled in dating. So a lot of my stepping away and focusing on myself was intentional. It was me saying, girl, you have buried yourself in partnership for too long, and it has taken away from your autonomy and taken away from your ability to think for yourself. And although I find so much beauty in partnership, in relationships in general, in romantic dynamics, even in just platonic connections. There are moments of your life, in my opinion, that should be shared between you and yourself, that require solitude, that require nurturing, that require tender love and care. And a lot of people never get the opportunity to do that. They either partnered up super young, partnered up before their frontal lobe fully developed, they never had a single era, they were always kind of bouncing from person to person, or when they were single, they weren't capable of nurturing themselves properly because they were always yearning for something else. I can empathize with all of that. I really can. But this particular episode is for a very niche and specific group of women who have decided to, whether it was your decision or theirs, to step away from the relationship, to navigate solitude, autonomy, independence, sovereignty, all on your own. You decided, you know what? The best thing for myself right now is me, is pouring into myself and understanding everything that I need to learn in order to become a better version of me. I think that something that isn't discussed enough is how little we are taught from a young age how to be a good partner. I think we just have that expectation for people without actually teaching them the proper tools, skills, and ways in which you should show up in partnership. A lot of how we show up is contingent on whether we had a good upbringing, whether we had trauma, whether we navigated our emotions properly, whether we were naive, whether we were anticipating something or expecting something. There's a lot of different moving parts that cause us to show up the way we do in relationships. Also, a lot of us don't really know ourselves. If you've been someone who has been living under your parents' guardianship all of your life and you've never truly stepped outside, you probably are struggling to understand a lot of who you are because you have never had to navigate life alone. You're still under parent rules. You're still under guardianship. You still have a lot of people nitpicking your entire existence. I doubt that most of you listening who are still living under your parents' roof would say that you have a perfect relationship with everyone in your home. It's very rare. Very seldom do I hear people say, oh my God, it's amazing. Like living at home is my favorite thing in the world. Like it comes with its positives, of course. I mean, you don't have to pay bills. Some of you do. You don't have to pay bills. You don't have to show up for yourself. You don't have to be alone 24/7, but there's a lot of negatives that come with it as well. The truth is, I didn't really get to know myself on a deep level until I moved out and then until I became single. Those two things needed to happen for me to truly get to know myself because when I moved out, I learned independence on a different level, but I was living with my partner at the time. So I was navigating independence with someone. There was someone who was also accountable for our life. And then when I became single, I was my sole provider. I was someone who had to lean on myself in entirety. And that was a completely different level of commitment. It took a lot of love, self-love, I should say. It took a lot of patience. It took a lot of learning and unlearning. And it was something that was navigated with so much gratitude. I was really grateful to do it. It was something that I actually really did enjoy, but that doesn't mean it didn't come with its hurdles. That being said, I have said this so many times to you guys before, but I will say it again. Becoming single was the unexpected blessing that I never thought I wanted. It has transformed and changed me as a woman for the better. I have witnessed myself go through so many different seasons of my life where I was shapeshifting into the next version of myself. I don't think we always have like this authentic aura right out the gate. Some people do. Some people are just naturally themselves. And I think if you like reference back to like how I was in high school, like when I look back at like videos or photos of myself, I'm very much the same. But there are fundamental differences about me. Discernment is number one. But not only am I discerning, but I'm also extremely aware, and it's not aware to a fault, but it's aware to the point where I actually look at it as a gift. My awareness has allowed me to actually be less anxious. I used to think that awareness would cause anxiety because it would make me more hypervigilant and hyper-focused on the truth. But actually what it did was it eased a lot of my ruminating thoughts because when you don't know things, sometimes you have this expectation, this fantasy, this thought, and it's not something that you can promise yourself because you don't really know. And now that I have more awareness and I've lived a little bit more life, so I have more lived experience, there are just certain things that I am understanding of and they just don't affect me the way that I thought they would. They don't affect me anymore. It takes that first heartbreak, that first friendship breakup, that big fight you have with your siblings or your parents, that mistake you've made, that indecisive thought you've had, to really register all of these new emotions, because you needed to go through those things in order to get to know yourself better. And I can confidently say that going through all of those things, whether it was a positive experience or not, has actually made my life better and has impacted me in a way where I am living a more positive life because I'm more in the know. I know what to expect, what to understand, how to pivot, how to really revel in my joy, how to understand what my peace brings in my life and how to really navigate that. And it's so beautiful. It is so relaxing, actually, and therapeutic.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot. These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll
and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know when it's time for an eye exam. America's Best. Every eye deserves better. Most vision insurance plans welcomed.
I wanted to share with you guys the steps that I personally think will really help you take in your journey to finding yourself and gaining that autonomy and genuinely enjoying it, not just saying you're enjoying it because you think that that's like the correct thing to say, but to actually enjoy it. So much so that when you do meet a new person and you're yearning for partnership again, you're actually kind of nervous about them coming into your beautiful, blessed life because you've cultivated such a beautiful space for yourself that is peaceful, that has so much joy, that has so much nurturing and independence and all the things that you've kind of created over this time. And you're afraid of them messing that up, that you take pause and you're like, wait, let me make sure that this is the correct decision for my life. Rather than jumping into things emotionally and not really thinking with your head, but thinking with other parts of your body and allowing that to guide you in a direction that could cause a lot of harm in your life. I am at a place in my life now where I am so eager and excited for partnership, but it's not at the forefront of my thoughts. It's something that I definitely think about, but it's not something that guides me, that moves me, that makes me do anything in particular. It's more so of just something that I like really want. Kind of similar to like wanting to go to Greece in 2 years, right? You can plan a trip in your head and you're really excited about it, but you're not dying. You're not like losing your mind every day leading up to it. You're excited for it. It's something that you're eager about, but it's not something that is ruining your day to day. It's not destroying your present. It's the same type of feeling for me when I think about partnership. How I think I've gotten here was unlearning some patterns that were instilled in me, whether it was my own subconscious thoughts or even just what I've heard through other people that have allowed me to navigate life after long-term commitment. So I kind of want to get into some of the things that I think will really help you when you've broken up with somebody, when you've made a big decision, whether it was like moving out, moving away, going no contact, leaving a relationship that was very beautiful, but just you outgrew it. And this could even be translated through other relationships. It doesn't just have to be like a romantic dynamic. I mean, that's kind of what we're highlighting today, but it's more so something that can be practiced, whether you've lost a friend, you disconnected yourself from a family member, or you are no longer with a partner. It could be anything. So this is my own guide, essentially, to the beginning of your new life. Let's get into it. Okay, so we want to first discuss like regaining our confidence, because that's something that definitely lessens the more that you're in a toxic dynamic, or even just when a good dynamic ends, or when a relationship that you wanted ends, because you're feeling a lack of self-trust. You also maybe are going through a major heartbreak. Maybe this person swept the rug out from underneath you. They are showing lack of emotion. They are not capable of holding space for you during this transition from you going from being with them all the time to not being with them at all. It's just a very uncomfortable thing, okay? Something that I've learned is a lot of autoimmune diseases have been created and have definitely developed in women due to anxiety and stress and not releasing your emotions properly. So I'm a huge advocate for crying, for screaming, for being sad, for letting things out. There's that John Mayer song, like, say what you need to say. And he said in the song, it's always better, I guess, to say too much than to say nothing at all. It's something along those lines. Like, it's better to say too much than never saying what you need to say. And contrary to the belief of many, I'm a big believer in that. I believe you need to sometimes say these things. Something that really helped me was exhausting myself to friends and family, rehashing the dynamic over and over again. Now, some would say, no, I would never, you know, listen to my friend go on and on about something. I would tell them they need to move forward, and talking about it just makes it worse. No, it doesn't. Sometimes people have to talk about things to release it. A lot of the times in a lot of relational dynamics, we were quiet in the relationship. We weren't constantly bringing up things. We weren't nagging all the time. We weren't talking about our feelings and how things hurt us. So then when it ends, or when we're blindsided, or when they cheat, or when they disrespect us and we're no longer with this person, we have all this pent up emotion and feelings and thoughts that were never expressed. Express them, let them out. I'm a big believer in releasing them because stress really does hold a lot of weight on the body. You feel it in your chest. You feel it in your heart. It makes you jaded. It makes you angry. It makes you snippy. And I'd rather you just exhaust it by talking about it, by releasing it, whether it's with friends and family or a therapist or just a trusted person. This is something that is so crucial in regaining your confidence. Let people hear you out and hear why you're hurt. I'm telling you, the longer you discuss it and the more you discuss it, sometimes it does get easier to talk about. And you don't want to be someone who chokes up at the thought of what happened to you. Because then what you're doing is you're giving that person so much power and control over your emotions. If it's brought up, if their name is said, or a situation that reminds you of something that happened to you is said in front of you, and you tense up and choke up because you have never really navigated what that made you feel like. Navigate it, express it, because then it will never control you again. There is really nothing that anybody could say to me in regards to the dissolution of my relationship, the mistakes I've made in my life, the problems that I've maybe once had that would really trigger me. Because what triggers us is usually things that we have not addressed. Things that we have not released and have gotten to be on good terms with internally. So it's important that we navigate all of that now to regain confidence in self. The next thing that I think is so important is to go back to doing things that you loved prior. A lot of us lost our way in relationships because we were trying to find things that we both liked to do. And listen, some people are more controlling than others, so some people really didn't change much in their relationships, but you do sacrifice at some point, whether it's your time, whether it's your interests, whether it's your solitude. There's a lot of things that we do in our alone time that we can't do when we're with people. Go back to doing that now. It's really time to go back to the things that we once loved. And if these things were like major in your life when you were super young and you're like, I don't know how I feel about it, then it's time to start maybe making new memories and doing new things for yourself. Something that I really enjoyed that I never did ever was going to the gym. And I've talked about this a lot. I never went to the gym. Prior to my relationship, during my relationship, it was not a part of my life. Fitness wasn't something that I enjoyed. I didn't think it was important. And after my relationship, it became like the highlight of my life. And it was enjoyable for me. It was an outlet. Not only did it allow me to release myself in a mental and emotional way because it helps with your health in those areas, but it also helps you physically. So it's a win-win. It increases your ability to feel good. You're more mentally safe and sane. You are feeling healthy physically. You're sleeping better. Your libido increases. Your confidence increases. There's so many things that change within you that the gym provides. But whatever it is that you want to do, it could be the smallest thing. It could be traveling. It could be doing a pottery class. It could be playing tennis. Maybe you used to be a horseback rider, going back and doing horse lessons. Get back to you. Becoming an autonomous person and enjoying it is doing things that fulfill you outside of a relationship. Building community is also major. If you're someone who was always secluding yourself in your relationship and it was just the two of you against the world, which I can totally relate. I was that person for a while. Try to get back out there and build community, a genuine community. And Understand what it means to be a friend, to show up, to build connection. You have to put yourself out there. You have to put in effort. You can't just rely on other people to always put in the work, because reciprocity is a big thing in womanhood and adulthood. You need to understand what it means to be a good friend, to build good connections. It can't just be contingent on you being single and sad. No, it needs to be something that you are willing to nurture in all areas of your life. And it's okay that you are building this later in life. But once you believe that you are ready to build it, it's time for you to build it from an authentic and genuine place where you realize that building connection and community is so important. And it's not to fill your time, but it's to make you feel good in your life. It's a huge part of being mentally and emotionally and physically happy, truthfully.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that when we have experienced cheating, somebody lying to us about something, where somebody like completely swept out the rug from underneath us, we get extremely angry. I think it starts off with like depression and sadness, but then it turns into anger. It manifests into just resentment and anger and bitterness. And that's totally normal. But something that I would recommend is to not seek revenge. This is something that a lot of people struggle with. They struggle with the ability to not do things to hurt the other person, whether it's doing things for the sole purpose that it will cause a reaction, or going out of your way to get your lick back, whether it's like texting his family member and saying something horrible, or sleeping with his best friend, or it could be a multitude of things, right? And I don't judge. I just think it's a waste of time. With that time that we could be spending getting revenge, we could actually just be pouring into ourselves. And I know that that at first sounds like boring and no, I really want to like physically hurt this person and make them feel what I feel. But I promise you, you will with time. And it's not that we want to seek revenge, but we want to validate that we were always deserving of something beautiful. And we're going to create that for ourselves. So the best way to do that is to move on, to glow up, to take good care of yourself, and to move forward. I believe that the best revenge is treating that person like they did not impact your life negatively, that they did not cause you to stifle yourself, that you were not lacking in receiving opportunities, that you weren't someone who was sitting things out because you were so sad. No, go on that date. Enjoy your life. Get yourself looking sexy. And I don't think it's a revenge. It's you realizing that you have been neglecting yourself for a very long time. Whenever I seeked revenge, it always bit me in the ass. And I have done it in the past. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and say I've never done it. It bit me in the ass. And I think the reason why is because it made me still kind of feel bitter, because I wanted that person to feel something that I was trying to ignite. When the reality is, when I move forward in certain situations and I'm just living authentically, being happy, that seems to be the thing that irritates the men that I've walked away from the most. The men that I have maybe casually dated, went on a few dates with, and they fucked up, and I just say, you know what, I don't care, and continue on with my life and living good. Those are the people that always come back on some, oh my God, like, I can't believe, like, and it's always like very much bothering them. But when you are like trying to ignite a feeling in someone and you are seeking revenge and you are going out of your way to pour into that other person's life and letting them control you like that, you are taking away from the time that you should be spending on getting to know yourself. Enough. It is immature and it's a waste of time. It's too time consuming. You've already given this person, whether it's months or years of your life, since this is the conversation of long-term connection, you've given this person years and years of your life, time and energy. Why the hell would you allow them to take up space in your life when they are no longer in it? And women, I am speaking to you specifically. To be upset in this way over someone who has removed themselves from accessing you, and they're not pouring into you financially, they're not pouring into you emotionally, they are so advantageous about their own goals and interests, and you're allowing this person to take up space in your life? Absolutely not. That is bum energy. And I really want you guys to give yourself life and view yourself as an asset. View yourself as a luxury to to experience. And the only way that you should ever feel anything for someone is when they are pouring into you, when you are receiving a great deal of, I guess, generosity. But when they remove that, it's time for you to pivot as well. And that is why I find it to be so freaking important for women to build a life for themselves that nobody can take from them. What is that Beyonce song, Break My Soul? And I believe in the song, she says something like, you can't take something that's in me because it's in me. That is something that resonates very deeply with me. There was a time in my life where I felt like being discarded was the worst thing that ever happened to me, because maybe I was receiving a good amount of things in that dynamic, and losing access to that person meant that I was living a lesser life afterwards. This is why I never allow anybody to take away things that I believe I should just always have. And the only way to do that is by giving it to yourself. I'm not saying that when a man approaches you and you start dating them and you're with them, that you don't allow them to do things for you. You absolutely do. But make sure that you are capable of doing things for yourself. Never let somebody be able to take away from you something that is in you, something that is yours, your right. I don't believe in that. So I have developed myself in a way over the years where losing someone did not change my physical environment. It didn't change really much. Maybe I was a little sad for a bit, but I didn't feel like I needed to take a hit because of it. And even if, let's just say, you're dating an extremely wealthy man and you're never going to make as much money as this person, but you're doing really well, still cultivate a beautiful life for yourself that you enjoy, that if you lost that, you still really didn't lose. Because you're still a woman, you still have things, you still have the life you built for yourself. Create that for yourself. Never let somebody take anything from you that you believe you should have, that you believe that you should be given. Always give it to yourself. And a lot of these things too can be traits. My ability to pivot, to persevere, to see the beauty in everything, to really sacrifice things, to allow myself to surrender, to allow myself to have seasons where I'm not feeling great but still persist on. Those are qualities that are in me that can never be taken from me by anyone. I have built those for myself. So learn to build that type of resilience so that nobody can ever change how you show up in life. Putting your emotions and life into somebody else's hands is a very dangerous game. And I would recommend for you to start giving things to yourself so that no matter what happens, you might be a little sad, but your life isn't going to be bad. There's a difference. Now, of course, I'm going to recommend therapy. I'm a big believer in speaking with someone, especially someone who is unbiased, who is going to give you good advice. It's something that you need to work through in therapy. A lot of the times when we were blindsided, cheated on, somebody deceived us, we felt like we were dating someone who we didn't even know. It is so jarring and upsetting and just confusing that it requires a lot of just deep conversations and specific type of work that a therapist can provide you. So I would recommend to see someone. I know for me that had I have been in therapy due to like a lot of my issues around infidelity and things that I've experienced, I think I would have showed up better in my future relationships after that. I was not the best partner after dealing with infidelity because I never dealt with it properly. You know, I was a big believer in rebounding, and now I've realized that taking pause actually is for my best interest, and that takes a lot of resilience, and it takes a lot of you believing that you can do it. It's a hard thing to do, to step out of something and not pour into another dynamic just to fuel your time. I have learned taking pause is necessary for me. So therapy, taking pause, removing myself, and figuring out what I need in this time. What is going to give me life? And writing it down, journaling, expressing myself in multiple different ways, allowing myself to feel all the feelings, and then releasing them. And keeping busy is a beautiful thing. I love the saying, depression hates a moving target, because when we are constantly filling our life with things and we're keeping busy and we're doing things for ourselves, it's really difficult to sit in your thoughts too much. And I think that we can always overdo it. And I never would recommend overfilling your schedule, because that could be a little dangerous too. But staying busy, if it keeps you happy, do it. I witnessed my mother go through divorce and, you know, certain situations in my life. And I think that something that really helped her kind of persist on was having children, was always keeping her busy. And she was always continuing her education. She was always working. And I just lived with a mother who knew how to pivot. She knew that she had other things to worry about. It's very scary to think that there are parents out there. And I understand and empathize. It's just not something that I had as my reality. But there are parents out there who go through divorce or they're, you know, losing a partner and they are like locking themselves in their bedroom for years. It's unhealthy. It's not sustainable. It's not something that you should do. And I know that mental illness can play a part in that. So I'm being careful with my words. But if it's just you kind of being dramatic, being a little bit of a cynic, you being someone who doesn't know yourself outside of that relationship, so you've had a really difficult time navigating yourself after, so this is how you've coped, I would recommend to get out the house, go for a walk, listen to a podcast, go to the gym, try something new, and see how you feel. You might actually enjoy it. I just think that these things are the really important habits that you need to cultivate in navigating leaving a long-term relationship. And these are the things that I would absolutely say to Chrissy Sarah if she was one of my friends. I mean, she seems to be great and fine, but we don't know these people. These people are social media influencers, and you don't know the intricacies of people's lives. But these are the things that I would definitely recommend to a woman who is navigating singlehood. I also would say blocking that person on social media, not keeping up with their life, and fully removing access to them. Like, do not allow this person to access you, to access your energy, to be a part of your aura and of your day-to-day, because it can really affect you and it could fuel things that they're doing. When you remove yourself in totality, it allows you to start over. And starting over is the best thing you can do. And I believe, yes, having burner accounts and checking up on this person, you are giving this person so much life. Let it go. You need to stop obsessing over what this person did to you and more so be like, that's too bad, but let me work on myself. People are going to surprise us. They're going to shock us. They're going to hurt us. It's our job to make sure we are okay. That's our only job. We can't always predict the future. We can't always know exactly how somebody's going to show up, but we know how we can show up for ourselves. And that is so crucial and important to focus on. All of this other nonsense, trust me, it's so unimportant in the long run. When I tell you there has not been a single man that I've ever dated, whether I felt like he loved me so much or loved me very little, that when we ended, they did not have somebody waiting for them on the other side. Not a single man that I've ever been with chose to work on themselves and be single after we broke up. No, they immediately jumped into the arms of another woman, whether it was a situationship, somebody that they could hook up with, or they turned it into a relationship. Not a single man, not one. That says a lot. So I think a lot of us, we get very obsessive, like, oh my God, what if he moves on first? And he will. But what you choose to do after your discernment journey, after your self-love journey, after your glow-up journey, what you choose to do and who you choose to align with will be so much more carefully chosen, because it takes consideration, it takes alignment, it takes working on yourself, it takes healing and taking pause to truly get involved in a healthy way after this. So you shouldn't be envying it. You should feel sorry for it. Feel sorry for the people who move on like that when they have not fully healed and understood the depths of what just happened in their life. It's not healthy, and it's not something that is admirable. So don't be so obsessed with it. Learn to be like, oof, that's too bad. I'm sure that that's going to blow up at some point. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you don't envy it anyways, because why would you want to be with somebody who is able to not want you so quickly and fill their time? I don't really take advice from people who are incapable of being alone, who don't know what it means to master themselves, who don't believe that solitude is important, and who don't know how to sit with themselves. I just don't take advice from those people. So I don't really care. It's not that I think all those people are bad. It's just I don't look up to that, because anything can happen to you at any moment. And I believe that the people who are not capable of sitting with themselves are the ones who crumble when bad things happen to them. And I don't want to be someone who crumbles. I want to be someone who perseveres. So this is my recipe to doing that. Okay, guys, that is my long-term relationship pivoting 101 guide. I think that it is so beautiful to be able to reflect even on my own dynamics and say, wow, it really does get better. And a lot of the things that I didn't think I would feel, I feel, and it's amazing. So I hope that you guys can eventually get to this place like I have and see the beauty in it, because you never know when you're going to meet another amazing person, and you never know what your single journey can really bring you. So just be optimistic and enjoy every moment, even the bad moments. Try to understand them at least. Okay. We are going to be answering a Hail Mail question. Again, thank you so much for submitting these questions, guys. And if you want to submit a question that I read anonymously here, just write them in the YouTube comments or go to the Hail Yes Instagram page and DM me and I will read it on here. So the Hail Yes question of the day is, okay, I really love this question actually. So the question is, did the soft life actually make me softer? Or did I just become more avoidant? So I would say this. I love soft life content because it teaches women to be more feminine, to slow down, to rest, to recover, and all of the things. But I will say this. I thrive the most when I balance. I don't know if balance is technically curated under the umbrella of soft life, but I do know that sometimes when I hear soft life style tips, it feels like more relaxing than working. I thrive when both are in my life, when I have the ability to relax and when I have the ability to hustle. I like hustling. I love making money. I love working. I love structure. I love routine. And that is something that really keeps me going and excited. Something that just makes me feel good as a woman is doing something really amazing for myself. And I don't make it something that I take pause with. I really will honor that time, respect it, and utilize it. So I'm someone who believes that putting soft life habits in your life is important because it helps you become more feminine. It allows you to slow down, to be more peaceful, to relax more. But I need the balance. I need the hustle. I need the ability to work. I need the ability to be able to curate things for myself. And I actually feel really great when I've created a beautiful thing for myself. So that's my answer to that. Okay, my loves, thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. I hope that it helped whoever is listening. If you are in a long-term relationship or you're seeing the end or you just ended it, please let me know down below in the comments. Let me know your thoughts on all of this. I really love sharing insights of my own life and things that I've learned. So if you guys have any of your own, let me know. I would love to hear from you. Thank you again for tuning in. Don't forget to send this to a friend, a coworker, somebody that you think that might need this episode today. I love that. Also, make sure to rate the podcast and give it a thumbs up everywhere that you guys see it. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye, everyone. Mwah.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.